Second Chronicles chapter 34, we're going to continue this evening with our study of Josiah. Josiah, the boy king of Judah that the Lord put into place after his father was assassinated. His father was a very evil man. It was a time of upheaval, uproar there in the area. And I'd like to read for you this evening 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1 through 3. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years, so 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left for. Now watch the way this pops out here. That for is a because. So go back and read verse 2 again. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left for. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Shall we pray together? Father, I praise you and thank you for the testimony that Josiah was to all of us. I thank you, Lord, for the way that this young man demonstrated obedience and reminds us of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this evening we ask that you would help all of us to be like Jesus, because we are being like Josiah and like so many of the other characters in Scripture. As they truly seek to honor you, Lord, help us to love our Master, the Lord Jesus, even more and honor him. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would take your outline from there inside your bulletin, I'd just like to read that first section to you. And I wrote it out for you so that you could study it on your own when you have the opportunity, just to think about the context of what you're looking at here. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 through 3, and reading from the outline there in your notes. According to the timeline in 2 Chronicles 35, verses 24 through 36, 36:7, Josiah's death in battle occurred 11 years and 3 months before God's severe judgment fell upon the nation of Judah and Israel. In 2 Chronicles 34:28, the Lord had promised Josiah that he would not personally see the devastating judgment that would fall upon his kingdom. Now, I asked you the question this last Wednesday night as we talked about this, and I asked you the question and how to respond to it. Do you believe that our nation is under God's judgment? Do you believe that God's judgment has already begun? I think I can demonstrate to you from the Word of God, if you'd like to sit down and talk about it, I think I can show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's judgment has already begun. If you look in the Word of God, you can see that. So here's part of the question. How should you and I live in a nation which is under God's judgment? By the way, does that mean, well, that's the end of our nation? It doesn't have to mean that. Because God's people at various times have turned around. They have repented. They have cried out to others to pray together. There have been some amazing prayer meetings that happened in this nation. And what happened was that God saw fit to give his people a genuine revival. Now, Josiah is interesting to us from what we read a few moments ago because of the way he turned. And as this series goes on, I'm going to show you even more practicality to all of this. Even though he was given the promise that he himself would not have to go through the judgment, how did that affect him? And how would it affect you and me? Second paragraph there. For those of us who believe that our nation is also under the judgment of God, Josiah's example of seeking the Lord is instructive. Romans 15:4 reminds us, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The Lord's work in the life of young Josiah encourages us to draw near to God, knowing that he will draw near to us, James 4:8. Even if you assume that you will pass away before severe judgment falls upon our nation, you ought to consider the generation to come. We looked at Psalm 78, verse 4, last Wednesday evening. In a very real sense, Josiah's example showed disobedient Israel how to draw near to God, ultimately leading to their return to the land 70 years later. Would you be willing to lead the next generation by example, to become what you want them to be in the sight of the Lord? Now, the question is, how did young Josiah become such a good example? We just read in verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 34. It records, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand or to the left." Now, here's the question. How did he do that? How did he do that? If tonight you and I could use the Word of God to turn the light on and really see this, we would learn something about how that works. Look, if you will, again at verse 3. Look at that very first word, "for." For he did something, or because he did something. What was it that he began to do in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 3? It says, "For in the eighth year of his reign," right? Let's see if we can get this right. We know when he began to reign, so in the eighth year of his reign, how old is he? He's 16 years of age. And it says he did something in the 12th year of his reign. How old is he then? He's 20. There's something happening here, folks, and this is dynamic. This is one of the reasons we want to pray for our teens as they go to Camp Kobiak. Pray for our sponsors as they go to Camp Kobiak. The Lord can do something dynamic. Yes, he can do something dynamic in us. In fact, he is day by day, and we rejoice in that. But there is something that happens in the life of a young person. When they do what Josiah is doing here, there is something that is transforming. And we're going to see in just a moment, it's also progressive. Again, look at it in verse 3. "For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images." You say, what on earth is that all about there? Well, if you thought about it this way, if you thought of it in terms of modern day pornography, you'd be pretty close. If you thought of it in terms of the kind of vileness that you see today in our society and in our media, you'd have a pretty good illustration of the kinds of things he was overturning. And he was saying, I want absolutely nothing to do with this. Now, as you flip your sheet over there, think about then what we're learning about Josiah. And I would point out in verses 2 and 3, you learn something about his attitude. And what you see in the latter part of verse 3, you see something about his actions. Let's pursue this just a little bit, shall we, and look at it. You see, first of all, that it says in verse 3, "In the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David." There's something that's going on in this young man's heart. Now remember, his grandfather, Manasseh, you can see this back in chapter 33 and verse 2, and his father, Ammon, who was named after an Egyptian god, Amun. You see this in 2 Chronicles 33, 2, 2 Chronicles 33, verse 22. You see they both did evil in the sight of the Lord, and it was just horrendous. So you ask the question, well, how can a young man who had such a wretched, wicked grandfather and a wretched, wicked father, how in the world could he turn around and seek the Lord? Friend, you're looking at the amazing grace of our God. The fact is, none of us in this room were raised by perfect people. The fact is, none of the children of the people represented in this room were raised by perfect. We are all sinners. That's what it comes down to. It's amazing that anybody ever trusts Christ. It's all about God's amazing grace. So rejoice with me tonight when you see this, that Josiah is seeking the Lord our God. What did the Lord Jesus say about this? No man can come except my Father which is in heaven draw him. It's a clear indication of God's work and God's grace at work in the life of Josiah. So look first of all at his attitude. Josiah set his heart to seek the Lord. Now, what does seek mean? I put it there in your notes in the theological word book of the Old Testament, one of the dictionaries that we could use. It is to seek with care, to inquire. Found it interesting in another dictionary, it talked about to seek in something like this is to read and reread, to just pursue after it. Say, I really, really, really want this, to seek after the Lord. How and why should we apply our hearts to this example? Now, folks, you have to be really careful here, because if you don't, then you start to make a mistake with your Bible. Is our Bible just full of examples that are almost like Tarzan stories, or like Edgar Rice Burroughs, or some other kind of rags-to-riches story where, well, you know, here's a young man who made this choice and this choice, and look, everything turned out right. If we reduced our Bible to that, it would just be a series of moralisms. By the way, we would also be self-righteous, because we would say, well, I got this the old-fashioned way. I earned it. You know, I kind of made it up myself. I kind of worked my way out of it. The fact is, there is no power in heaven or earth available to us to be like Josiah other than through the great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that you and I can be like Josiah is because God the Father sent his only Son to this earth. It is only through him, only through Jesus Christ, that we have the enabling grace to be able to follow. It is the only way that God's beautiful and wonderful character could be transmitted to us in a beautiful manner is, as James 3 says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. All of those are characteristics of our God. And so the reason tonight you and I can be like Josiah and make choices with the Word of God is because we could be like Jesus. I don't know if you remember this, but these are available on the website if you'd like to look them up. There are servant songs on our website. I think I preached through three of them, and I left Isaiah 53 for probably a future Easter when we come back around to it. But notice, for instance, in passages that tell us about this, just how beautiful and how wonderful this is. And here's what I mean by that. I mean, Jesus Christ himself was a disciple. When he said he called us to follow him and be his disciple, it's really helpful to remember that he himself was a disciple. And that comes out in places like Isaiah 50 verses 4 through 5, where it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." You and I know this, that the reason tonight, the only reason we could be like Josiah and make those kind of choices, Galatians 2:20. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." Now, there's the same idea that you have coming out in the Romans 6 as you're memorizing Romans 6. It is because we are in union with Christ. It's because we're identified with him. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The only reason that you and I could be like Josiah is because we could be like Jesus. It's because of Jesus' great work in all of us that we're able and able to have the grace of God to be able to do this. This comes out in other places in Scripture that you can see. John 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." It's all because of the Lord's work that we're ever able to do this. So first of all, you see the reason why we could be like Josiah, the reason why we could have this attitude, and then consider the response of how would you go about this? How would you do this? Now, these are all in your notes, and you can work through them at your leisure. I've written all the references down for you to kind of follow along. If you want to go back and review this, I'd be glad to discuss it with you as well. But for instance, consider what it says in Psalm 9 and verse 10. "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee." Tonight, are you seeking the Lord? Do you desire tonight and say, "I'll tell you what I really want to do. I really want to draw near to the Lord." Here's the great promise. The Lord says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." This is why, for instance, you would find in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do we get that? Without faith, that is depending upon the Lord, it's impossible to please him. If we think we're going to somehow work it up ourselves and we're just going to be powerful in of ourselves, that doesn't please God. That's pride. That's arrogance. That's self-righteousness. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what's happening here is Josiah is demonstrating an attitude that is absolutely essential. Now, I won't read it tonight just for lack of time, but perhaps in our next meeting together or the message after that in this series, I'm going to go back and just visit with you about the way the Lord has worked by his grace in a number of young men over the years. There was one particular young man who wrote, "I love the Word of God." He said, "I love it. I absolutely love it." That young man, who was the son of a pastor, and that pastor had a lively discussion at lunchtime when they would, after the message was preached, he encouraged them all to take notes, and they had a lively discussion and talked about it. Young man at 11 years of age wrote in his journal, "I love the Word of God." And he really did. In fact, he demonstrated how much he could use the Word of God, and just the ways he talked about it, that people said, "You ought to write a book about this. I mean, you really ought to. You ought to write a book about what you're seeing." The young man's name was Matthew Henry, and many of you are familiar with the Matthew Henry commentary. There was another young man, and again, I'll read this to you in more detail. I'm sorry, I just don't feel like I have the time to go into the details tonight. There's another young man who actually got a hold of it. He didn't have the money for it, but he actually on a loan was able to get a hold of it, and he began to read it through over and over again. And that young man's name was George Whitefield. And so it is fascinating to see that God's work, God's grace, is still evident in young people. Folks, it's going on the same way today. In our frontline meetings right down there with the children right now, in our teen meetings right now, they are being confronted with choices from the Word of God that ought to be made. Now, this is fascinating because even if you believe, as I do, that our nation is under judgment, okay, you're so tempted to be fatalistic, you're so tempted to get in a fortress mentality, you know, go put all your foodstuffs in a hole in the ground and, you know, get your weapons going and say, we're just going to, it's kooky, it's crazy. The fact is that what the Lord could do through our young people if we would invest in them and cry out to the Lord that they would seek the Lord is the Lord could do something very special even in our own generation. Something that even if our nation has to go through severe judgment, their example could lead the nation back into blessing. It's something that you and I ought to consider, and I think is taught very plainly here in the Word of God. So how do you view your child? How do you view your grandchild? How do you view that little one that's there upon your knee? Are you taking the opportunity to continually exhort them and encourage them about the Lord? Will they be able to say at 11 years of age, "I love the Word of God"? I had this verse in devotions just a couple of days ago, but Ezra 7:10 is a really good example of this. It's in your notes there to study. It says, "For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it in Israel." I thought it was a really interesting progression. Again, let me read it to you. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. All right, stop the message. Would you right now make a commitment before the Lord? Lord, I'm going to prepare my heart to seek the law of the Lord. I really want your words, Lord. Even in a society that seems given over to vileness and coming judgment, I love the Word of God. Would you be like Ezra and be like Josiah and prepare your heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it? It's not enough just to get a running start and get your attitude right. When I speak of attitude in this sense, I'm really thinking more of the attitude of a rocket than I am of your demeanor. The attitude of a rocket can be off just 1 or 2 degrees here. That means it's off a long way when it's traveled a long distance. It's really an attitude, it's an approach to seek the law of the Lord. And that's exactly what Ezra is doing in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Well, the attitudes then, as you can see in Ezra 7:10, naturally lead to actions. The actions are Josiah set his heart to serve the Lord, not merely to seek the Lord, but also to serve the Lord. Look, if you will, at the last part of there, verse 3. It says, and in the 12th year, again, this is at 20 years of age. So think about this. Something began to happen in the life of this young man when he was 16 years of age. Now, one of the reasons this gets to me so much is I got saved when I was 15 and a half. And just about 16 and a half, I heard a man speak at the Wiles, and he really encouraged us about daily meditation. He really encouraged us about getting something out of God's Word. And I look back and I began to think about all the ways the Lord changed my life because of that. He can do exactly the same thing for you today at any age. He could do that great work in you. And then at 20 years of age, you find him being very responsive to the Lord. In obedience to the Lord, you find him really beginning to deal with things over which he has control. You find him beginning to deal with things. Look again here at the actions in your outline. The actions are Josiah set his heart to serve the Lord, not merely to seek the Lord, but also to serve the Lord. I point out to you then, this can take time. It's progressive. Notice that at 16 years of age, he began to seek the Lord. And there at 20 years of age, 4 years later, you can see he's gained the strength of the Word of God. The Lord has been his sustenance. He's been seeking after the Lord. I don't know how much of the Word of God they really were familiar with. And the reason I say that is, later in our study, we're going to discover that they rediscovered the Bible. They rediscovered the Word of God. But this much is plain. As he continued to seek the Lord in whatever ways he had before him, there was a progressive change so that by 20 years of age, he was making some really good choices. This comes from the heart. It's responsive. It's not only progressive and that it takes time. It's from the heart. It's responsive. It's also combative. This is war. If you stop to think about what the landscape was like at the time and what was going on in that country and all the ways that idols had been set up all over the place, you realize it was pretty combative. I mean, there was war going on. But I pointed out again here in your notes, this is over things within your control. And by that, I mean it's proactive. In other words, there's some things that are going to happen to you that you will not have control over. You're just not going to. But the things you do have control over, and that's what Josiah is doing, the things he was able to rule over. So let's get practical about this as we close the message down tonight. Look at it there in your notes about the way I made these applications. For instance, if he's taking command over things which he does have control over, and he's being responsive to the Lord, there's a progressive change that's taking place, it is combative, what's he doing? Romans 13, 12 through 14, which, by the way, is a military context. It talks about putting on the armor of light. What does he say? Paul says there in Romans 13, do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Why? There's a war on, that's why. Put on the armor of light. Put away these other things. Don't make provision for the flesh. Ephesians 6, as you know, 12 through 18, is the same idea. It's a military approach in order that you may be able to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand. And 1 Peter 2:11 makes this very plain, doesn't it? You ought to go to war against your evil desires in the power and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ working with you in you. You ought to go to war. He says, abstain from those fleshly lusts, those evil fleshly desires that he says that war against your soul. Now, folks, all you have to do is stop to think about where was the rest of Judah going at this time? Where was the rest of Israel going at this time? Where had his grandfather gone? Where had his father Ammon gone? But by God's grace, Josiah made a choice. It's the same choice that you and I ought to make every day. Lord, I want to seek you today. Lord, I want to serve you today. I want to give my whole heart to you today and honor you. And obviously, as you see there, he had to tear down some physical idols. You and I might say today, well, I don't know that we really have to do that. I would disagree with you. the last verse in 1 John exhorts us, keep yourselves from idols. As Ezekiel 14, 1, 2, 3, in the first three verses there, talks about breaking down the idols of the heart, or you have set up idols in your heart and they ought to be broken down. So I'm going to just make an appeal to you this evening. If you want to become what you want the next generation to be, if you want to lead by example, knowing full well that their example could, by the grace of God, turn the nation around, turn the nation in a different direction, then could you and I tonight take the two simple steps that Josiah took? Seek the Lord and serve the Lord, and then watch what His amazing grace could do in all of us. I'm going to pray here in just a moment, and then we'll gather together in small groups to pray. I want to encourage you, even in that prayer meeting, to pray for our young people and to cry out to the Lord for them. Shall we pray together? Father, we bless your name tonight for the opportunity just to praise you and to honor you and to exalt you. Lord, we are longing tonight to be like Josiah. We thank you for the grace of Jesus Christ that draws us to the Lord, that allows us to be more like the Lord. I pray for us tonight, Lord, that you would help us to make the choices that Josiah made. Show us how to teach the generation to come to make those choices through which you could work mightily in them and in our nation. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.